get this thing off my hand.
You mean the puppet?
Yeah, I mean the puppet. Get it off my hand.
Wait a second. You just killed my music.
Yes, I did, because I can't hear myself think.
So what happened then?
What do you mean what happened then? So the puppet says to me, how come the American people are bending over and getting a dry prostate exam with five thick fingers?
Yeah?
You don't hear what I'm talking about, do you?
I don't understand why you got to interrupt these bits and start crying and complaining and get the puppet out of here. And 2 hours ago, you sewed your fingers together. What was that about?
Because I was trying to sew the puppet's mouth shut.
Well, it's on your hand.
Oh, man.
I know.
I. You know what? You've been taking some time off lately, haven't you?
Yeah.
And I gave you the time off. Why?
So I could, you know, relax and get my head together.
Well, it don't sound like it to me. Guy comes back his first day, sews three fingers together, and gets upset when a puppet asks the perfectly logical question about getting a massage. Do you ever pop one?
And I got you leaning on me about the FCC morning, noon, and night, and the puppet gets to say pop one and I don't.
That's right. You know why?
Why?
Because a puppet ain't alive. You can't find something that's made out of cloth. Jesus! What, are they going to levy a fine against something that's made out of cloth? Okay, we're going to find that thing there that, you know, was made out of leftovers from someone's sock. You know, Phil, the world you live in is weird. The rest of us don't live in it.
I try to tell him, Mr. Hall.
Shut up, bud. You see what I'm saying, Phil?
Yes, I see what you're saying.
Getting all bent out of shape out of what a puppet's saying.
I try to tell...
Shut up, bud.
All right. Sorry.
It's okay. I like you, Phil. I like you a lot. I think you'll go places. I understand the TV show may get picked up by NBC.
Well, I'm not saying anything just yet.
Well, it's a great vehicle to promote your radio show. We see big things for you. But as long as you're sewing your fingers together because you forget there's a puppet on the end of your hand...
I try to tell him, Mr. Hall.
Shut up, bud. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know what you're saying.
This is Darth Hall. Out.
You know, I...
It's your own fault. A puppet's on your hand. You're making it say everything it says.
I understand that. Okay, I want to bring on now Brad Rifkin. Brad is a public relations... he's a public relations specialist... who was involved in a campaign that he was trying to pitch to, was it Visa Card, Mr. Rifkin?
That is correct, Phil. Visa, yeah.
Okay. Tell me about the campaign, and it was rejected, and you protested the rejection of this. You've actually filed a lawsuit?
No, we have not as yet filed a lawsuit. What we're trying to do is work this out with individuals to represent it to Visa to try to get them to understand the purpose of our campaign. And the purpose of our campaign is to present a realistic picture of consumers that consumers can relate to. And
all right, now the ad campaign is on the air right now, as I understand, right?
Yes, it is. It's on the air right now the way Visa felt that it should be. We think they're making a very big mistake.
And all right, now the campaign, describe the campaign as you know it.
All right, the campaign is a television campaign for Visa. It shows a couple dining at a beautiful restaurant overlooking the ocean. It's a very Mediterranean-looking restaurant. It has a patio. The moon is out. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous picture. And the couple that is dining is an African-American couple, beautiful woman, very handsome man, and then he proceeds to pay for this wonderful dinner that he is treating his wife to, I'm supposing, or his girlfriend or whoever, with his Visa card. And that was the campaign that Visa went with, even though ours was better. I've got to believe Visa went with that campaign because they're getting kickbacks, and I don't want to accuse anybody, but I don't know why they would go with that campaign and not ours, which is far more realistic.
And all right, give me what your campaign was.
Our campaign was the exact same campaign. The same beautiful, beautiful Mediterranean restaurant. The same beautiful atmosphere on the ocean with the moon and everything. Gorgeous African-American woman. And she's out to dinner with her husband, who pays with the Visa card. But in this case, the husband is a white man. All right. And we presented this to Visa, and they said, well, we can't do that. And I said, I understand, why not? They said, but because it's not going to be acceptable. I said, since when is reality not acceptable? And they said,
Wait. Okay, so in other words, what you're saying is the campaign that Visa went with is not real?
I don't think it's as close to reality as ours, no.
You don't think the Visa campaign showing an African-American couple having dinner is as close to reality?
Not having dinner, but having dinner at a very high-end, what looks to be a restaurant in a very high-end hotel, paying with their Visa card.
And it's, so it's more likely that a black woman having dinner at a very high-end restaurant in a high-end hotel would be having that dinner with a white man?
Well, so in other words, you're telling me I'm... So you don't even get it. I've been on three talk shows. And
I don't even get what? I mean,
the obvious reality that I think anybody would be a little bit more influenced by, yeah, is she's going to be with a white man. Why? What do you mean?
What do I mean? What do you mean? So that's degrading, don't you think, to an African-American couple to say it's
not? No, it's not degrading. I'm not saying that they're not going to be having dinner at a high-end restaurant. I'm saying the reality that most of us see is...
What do you mean, most of us see? You know, I was just at a hotel in Mexico, very beautiful hotel. There was Michael Jordan there with his wife. Black man, black woman.
Well, what was the hotel you were at?
The one and only Palmia.
All right, with all due respect, that's not Las Ventanas, is it?
Oh, so it ain't that high-end, huh?
I'm talking about a Mediterranean, a really great place. Yeah, you're going to see a gorgeous, and I mean a beautiful African-American woman with a beautiful ring on her finger. And our commercial showed it very tastefully. The man leans over, and you see a white hand.
Lay the Visa card on the tray.
Yes.
Oh, you are really something, man. No wonder.
What do you find so funny about this?
Well, I mean, come on. I saw the commercial. She's a beautiful woman, and he's a striking young man, and they're obviously an upwardly mobile couple. Yeah,
mobile as in mobile. Now,
look at pal. How much of this stuff is just veiled racism?
Wait a second. I find that very insulting. I've been in the ad game now for 35 years. I don't make friends, and I don't do business insulting people. I'm trying to relate to the audience the best way I know how.
And you're saying it's more relatable to people?
Yes, because it's more likely that if you're in an upscale Mediterranean restaurant, you're in an upscale hotel, you're overlooking the ocean, and you see this gorgeous black woman, and she leans over to whisper something in a man's ear, and as the man leans forward, his skin is a hell of a lot lighter than hers, and he's got a little touch of a...
Yeah, okay, man.
Look, what if we used a black man, but we painted his hand white when he hands the waiter the V? What is that going to mean?
Why would you do that?
Because I'm trying to strike a happy medium. All right? I've got a lot of people on my back. I wanted this account badly.
You're going to have a black man and paint his hand white.
Yes, as he extends his... It was either that or have him wear gloves.
Get out of here. I'm sure. You know, they're having dinner, you know. Oh, honey, what's up? Oh, well, you ready? And the only thing you see, the first thing you see, the guy's the white hand puts the freaking Visa down. Good Lord. Man, summer's here, baby. It's vacation time, huh? I'm going to get down to Mexico. I'm going to get down to Mexico at least a couple times this year, even though I have no vacation time left. All right. I have to steal a few days. I'm going to be taking a couple of days off in September to go to Mexico and drink some Julio. And a black guy and a black lady in a restaurant having dinner. All right. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show. And the, you had a Spurs of one. Popovich, great coach. Larry Brown, great coach. I'm sure it was a fine series. Did I watch it? No, I did not. Do I care? Probably not. And I know that we're on in San Antonio. Is that what I call it? I know we're on in San Antonio. We used to be on the Spurs station in San Antonio, but now we're on a better station. And the reason why I hate the Spurs, we used to get preempted for their lousy, stinking games. It's just another one of those situations. Either you like the game or you don't. And basketball is fine, but I grew up, I had a Canadian father. My old man came down from Canada back in the late 40s, came to California, and as much as he wanted to be an American... And my father, you never saw an immigrant embrace the American culture more than my old man. My dad went out and got a wooden carved eagle, an American eagle made out of wood, carved, and he hung it on the over the mantle in our living room. And then he became a citizen. And then he ran the stars and stripes up the flagpole every day. And what, bud?
KRPT.
What?
KRPT.
What are you saying, man?
KRPT.
What's that?
That's the station we're on in San Antonio, you douche.
A douche, am I? Well, you... KRPT, San Antonio. It's FM, baby. Thank you, Jesus. And I can walk the walk, too, man. So, the old man comes down from Canada, and, you know, he wants to be American. But the one thing he couldn't resist doing is taking me to hockey games. Yeah, I mean, you got to, you're a Canadian, you just can't get it out of you all at once. So when I was a kid, during that time of year, it was always hockey, it was not basketball. So as a result, while I would follow the Lakers off and on as a kid growing up in Southern California, and that was back when Jerry West was playing all that, I wasn't really following him as much as I probably should have. All my friends were, because everybody was into basketball. Nobody was into hockey. We didn't even have a freaking hockey team out here. We had a minor league team. I didn't get into basketball really until the late 60s when I got into high school, and that's when the Celtic rivalry and the Knick rivalry was heating up big time. And, you know, and then during the 80s, I had season seats. God almighty, were they expensive. I had season tickets for the Lakers through the 80s. All through the Showtime period, I had them under the goal, which is not a bad seat, actually, when you're sitting under the basket. And that wasn't bad, but the first year I had them, I went and I said, I want to buy 6 season tickets. What can I get for my money? And the guy had me up in what was called the colonnade section at the Forum, which was the high level. Now, you would think that's a lousy seat. That's a great seat. It was a great seat. I loved those seats. And I made the mistake of giving them up and getting seats underneath, I don't know, whatever, one of the baskets. And I was up about halfway under the, and I never enjoyed those seats, even though I was way closer to the action, never enjoyed them as much as being up in the colonnade, which I was not quite mid-court, but almost. And I was probably about 15 rows from the very top of the Forum. But I would go out to these games, sell tickets to my friends. We'd go out. You ever tailgated a basketball game? It's not quite the same thing. You know, you're sitting there with hot dogs, then you go indoors. What's the point of that? But we would try it anyway. And tailgating basketball ain't like tailgating football. Tailgating football, you got the hot, you got everything going, and you got an early game you're watching. In our case, in California, the early game. What's the early game back east? It's 1 o'clock. Yeah. So anyway, you're watching the early game, and then you go and you watch your game. Basketball, you sit there and you turn around. What are you going to watch, Sherry Lewis or something? I don't know what you're going to watch. You're going to watch like the home building hour on PBS. So we went in there, but I liked those seats because back then, all of the scumbags from Boston, pardon my language, well, you got to understand, it was the Lakers-Celtic thing, they would be up there too. They would be maybe 10 rows above us. And the fist fights, oh, it was great. It was beautiful. Every game, there's some blood fest. Because 82, I forget, 83, 84, 84, 85 was when the Lakers and Celtics were going at it. And then they did, and then they played again in 87. Lakers beat them 2 out of those 3 times. And anyway, here in L.A., when they came out here for in the championship series, of course, the bloodletting never ended. I mean, up, you know, maybe 3-4 rows below the very top of the Forum, where you got your head up against the ceiling, there'd be fist fights galore. It was fantastic. You could hear that kind of shrieky Boston accent, you know. You'd hear the fist against flesh. And the games were pretty intense. Lakers beat them in those series, but when the Celtics beat us, it was always like 30. It was just, what? Like the Memorial Day Massacre, some people probably remember that game, it was Memorial Weekend. We lost to the Celtics by like 40. It was just disgusting. But we wound up beating them, and there you go. But it's a totally different team. Laker team now, well, we ain't got a team. Got Phil Jackson. But, you know, so congratulations to the Spurs.
How are you going to get yourself out of this one?
I don't know, bud. Bud's asking me how I'm going to get myself out of this one.
Every time you talk about basketball, you don't know how to get out of it. Because you're not that much of a fan. Why do you keep talking about it?
Because I feel I got to be relevant, okay? Here, I'm getting out of it this way. There.
Talk about Jeannie Buss.
Okay, Jeannie Buss is, I don't know anything about Jeannie Buss.
Well, how she has sex with Phil Jackson in it, you know, in like the shower.
How she has sex with, what?
Talk about her bust.
I'd rather listen to this, bud, than hear one more word out of you. If I hear one more word out of you, it'll be the end. It'll be the end for both of us. Because to quote Fletcher Christian, I will run you through and then I will kill myself. Not Paris, not Nikki, Kathy.
Yeah.
Woo! That's the mom, right?
Yeah. Oh, you telling me she's not good looking?
She's a very lovely lady, bud. You know me, I'm a gentleman. And I would never, of course.
Oh, you're insane. She's so doable.
Ooh, God. When you talk like that, I want to belt you. Doable. Yeah, if you like her with one eye that kind of wonks off to the left.
How dare you?
No, she's very nice lady. Speaking of the Hiltons, you know, there's so much in the news. Kathy and Nikki and Kathy Hilton, the mom, I think, was going to do a TV show where she, get a load of this. It was, you know, the whole Beverly Hillbillies idea. They were going to go and get some poor, illiterate, inbred Okies. Well, I shouldn't say Okies. These are more Appalachian people. And they were going to bring them to Hollywood, stick them in a mansion, and then chuckle at them as they supposedly didn't know what a dishwasher was, right? Which, first of all, is the most arrogant thing. Even in some guy, look at, I understand that we have segments of our population that are stone age, don't get me wrong, but I think the people at CBS who were thinking of this series of getting the hillbillies out here, I don't know that they knew that they were playing with fire, because those people will turn on you and tear your face off. What if you got some slick down Hollywood greasy bastard who's bringing them out who says, okay, look, all I want you to do, and suddenly they're just rabies ridden, they turn on him. You know what happened to that guy with that Bakersfield monkey? Try screwing around with a guy from the Appalachians. Same thing will happen to you. Lower lip is ripped off, genitals mauled, 1 foot missing. Because you messed around with somebody from the holler. So now Kathy Hilton, the mom of this fan, and Harry and I were talking here a minute ago. I can't remember who the hell is who, right? Because there was a guy by the name of Baron Hilton, and he owned the San Diego Chargers, believe it or not. And then there was Conrad Von Hilton. I think there was a Von Hilton or a Conrad Adolf Hilton or some crap like that. And then they had a Nikki Hilton, right? Wasn't he married to Elizabeth Taylor? Is he the father of the Hilton girl? I don't know. So now here's the deal. Kathy was going to do a show where a couple of slobs would come in from Busted Whistle, Arkansas, or, you know, Busted Down Tree, Texas, or something. And she'd show them around New York. She'd take them to parties. That's it. She'd take them to parties. And she would kind of show them the sophisticated life of the urban New Yorker and how funny and interesting that would be, seeing some people who just came out of a trailer park shown around New York by Kathy Hilton. Well, they had to scotch the whole plan, because in the pilot episode, they actually did bring in some people from some methamphetamine-ridden trailer park in Texas. And apparently, within about 4 hours of them being escorted around New York by Kathy Hilton, they found her tied to a car bumper. And I don't want to, I can't get into the rest. I don't want to get into the rest of it, but let's just say that they, all right, okay, they found a wrench nearby and it had blood on it. And she was fine. No. Anyway, so here's the thing. Kathy Hilton, Nikki Hilton, all the Hiltons, right? Big money, right? You couldn't pay me to stay in a Hilton hotel. You couldn't pay me to stay in a Hilton. Have you been to a Hilton lately? You might as well be in a Motel 6. I bet you Motel 6 is classier. It's got far better accommodations than Hilton. Every Hilton I've been in lately is run down, old, smells like old furniture, water damaged walls. Why don't you guys pull it together? Just because you got your kid running around doing Carl, yeah, she's selling hamburgers, man, not your hotels. Have you thought about using her for that? Good Lord. Well, am I the first guy to think of that? Oh, man.
I don't know what we're going to do. Our hotels are losing money. Marriott's kicking our ass. Sheraton's kicking our ass. Four Seasons kicking our ass. Ritz, what are we going to do?
Have you thought about using Nikki Hill or Paris Hilton? Wow.
Well, I don't get it. What do you mean?
You don't get it? What's not to get?
You mean they put them in a commercial?
Yes.
Why?
To promote your freaking hotels.
Why would we use them?
What are their last names?
Hilton.
Ding. Light bulb going off at all?
No, it's just getting pad
kind of over your head, huh? Is that what it is? Oh, my God, dude. You got Carl's Jr. using her. You got, I don't know how many guys have used her. She's been used up, man, thrown out. She's overexposed now, you jackballs. You could have used her to promote your rotten hotels. There was a time when Hilton was the creme de la creme, baby. The Hilton hotel chain was considered very upscale, very nice. And as a matter of fact, I will tell you this much. We stayed at a Hilton in Tucson that was nice. Michelle and I were at the Jolt appearance 2 weekends ago. It was a beautiful golf resort. That's the best Hilton hotel I've been in 20 freaking years. The rest of them, you talk about living on your laurels. You guys are getting your rear ends bounced up one side and down. Man, you're getting beat worse than Jesus on the hill, man. No kidding. You guys are hanging off a cross compared to Marriott. Marriott kills you. You know, all of those kind of mid-level hotel chains, you got Marriott, you got Hilton. What else you got? You got Ramada Inn, you got Radisson. They all beat the pants off of Hilton, if you'll pardon the expression. Having her pants beat off. So there she is doing a spot for Carl's Jr., one of the hottest looking commercial. Man, you know what? She is gorgeous. I'd see her in the magazines. And well, you know, I'm like a lot of guys. This is what a lot of guys do with women that they'll never have in their wildest dreams. You begin to critique them. Well, her nose is a little crooked. Yeah, uh-huh. Her nose is crooked. Let me ask you something, man. If you were laying down one day, let's say you're just laying someplace, and she thought your face was a bar stool, you going to actually say something? Who are you going to say, you know, her nose is a little crooked? I don't think so, brother. Nah, she's smoking, man. There's no... But the fact that she's doing Carl's Jr. spots and Hilton is dying on the vine, oh, I'm sure they're making all kinds of bread, because there's still a few people hanging on thinking the Hilton name in hotels is some kind of currency. Brother, those places are, like, strictly from hunger. I'm telling you, you guys need to do a little renovation over there. Like, how about 100 sticks of dynamite? All right. Now that I've made it absolutely certain that we will never get an advertising buy from the Hilton hotel chain, could I interest Four Seasons in some airtime? Great plastic surgery, I guess. Michael Jackson notwithstanding. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Whoever did the job on his kisser, man, they ought to stick him behind bricks and bedlam. How come that guy's still got a license to operate? Well, I guess because there's a whole lot of folks that think Michael Jackson's schnozzola is what they want. One that just, you know, enough cool air gets in through the window and the guy's face deflates like a bad souffle. Just... Dear Phil, this is from Danny in Tampa, and it's all written in capital letters with lots of exclamation points. Now, I don't know whether this means an unusual addiction to diet pills or what's going on here. Danny writes, I have written to you before. I think I am one of your most loyal fans. I have only been listening for a little over 2 years, and I don't think I can catch up with all the years I have lost. Sounds corny? Seriously. I will be a backstage pass for as long as you have a show. You really bring happiness and lots of laughter to my life. I talk about you constantly to my family and friends, and they just don't get it. No humor. If my spelling is bad, it's because I had a few light beers, the kind you hate.
Why don't you say it like the exclamation points?
What do you mean?
Say it with the way she wrote it.
Well, here's how she wrote it. With the capital letters, the exclamation points?
Yeah.
Hi, Phil! I haven't written you before! I think I'm one of your most loyal fans! I've only been listening for a little over 2 years! If my spelling's bad, it's because I had a few light beers, the kinds you hate! Ha 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 ha!
Keep up the excellent work. I love you, Phil. And oh, can you play one of my favorites, Dr. Jim Sandler, in the van, teaching, forcing the elderly how to drive aggressively on the highway. He was bumping into people to make them get out of the left lane. By the way, I hate a-holes in the left lane. It's a good one. Thanks, Phil. Please edit this and excuse the foul language. Ha ha! Love, Danny. Mwah. Tampa!
Hey, Phil, loved your webcast last Friday. I look forward to seeing another one. I got two of my friends to finally sign up for the backstage pass to tune in, and they loved it as well. Do you think maybe on the next webcast we could hear the callers while you're screening them between segments? That's got to be hilarious. Yeah, we turned the microphone off for our screening segments. Because there's some things we just don't want you to hear. Because, frankly, it gets aggressive, it gets foul-mouthed, it gets ugly. There are threats issued back and forth, there's all kinds of things that happen when we screen calls. Now, when we weren't screening calls, I think we had the microphone on. And as I said the first hour, people reacted to the fact that it was very unedited in here. We're not playing to the camera. This isn't like Real World or half of the reality shows that are on TV where they're playing to the camera. We're not. That's what happens while we're off the air. And everybody's with the F-bomb. Well, okay. As always, I appreciate having at least one intelligent talk show to listen to. Thanks, Phil. Craig. P.S. I used to like Bud Dickman, but now he's really starting to get on my nerves, and I find myself wishing for his slow death every day. Keep up the good work, Phil. Finally, a letter I like, Bud.
Yeah, what a plug.
A plug. Hi, Phil. I really enjoyed the webcast earlier today. I watched listening here from China. I decided to write you also to ask if you think it's about time for another Kenny Rogers special to celebrate something. Maybe Michael Jackson's acquittal, I don't know. I always love his specials and all the big stars he has on. You think this guy's really writing me from China? Well, I emailed the guy back and I said, well, send us a picture every time we get an email from somebody who says they're in China or Timbuktu or someplace. Send us a picture, so maybe. We did get the one from the lady. I got the one that the strangest picture I think we've ever gotten was definitely the dude with the Swedish Masons. We got one picture from a guy and his girlfriend in Moscow. They listen to the show in Russia. We got one picture from India. We got two pictures from India. We must be number one with a bullet in India. Top English language show, The Phil Hendry Show. Huh? And, you know, I used to laugh when I'd read those things in the magazines about how David Hasselhoff just kills in Germany. Is it, yeah, big deal. Hey, I'd take that. I'd take India right now. You know, we're struggling here. We got 105 affiliates. We're in some big markets. We're in some little markets. But if I kicked ass in Thailand, hell, I'll take that. Maybe I'll host Thailand Idol one of these days. I don't know. All right, so that's from Chris in China, and that's our email for tonight. If you want to send us one, just send it to phs@philhendryshow.com. We got a lot of email, but we don't read all of it because a lot of it sucks. And also, I get a lot of these unsolicited things like Media Matters, the Downing Street Memo. What they do is they think if they send a million emails to the media centers of America that they're going to get some air for their stupid points of view. So I've been getting all these emails about the Downing Street Memo, right? And some crap that these people are trying to circulate about Bush, whatever. So here's what I like to do. I always send back things. Oh, yeah, did you hear? It's a fake. And so that immediately drives them nuts. I get a million emails back. What are you talking about? It's a fake. Yeah, didn't you hear? It's been proven that the Downing Street memo is one big fake written on a toilet paper with someone's wipe. And then they're all, what? Why? How dare you? You sound like some kind of... Yeah, and then they waste precious energy refuting some guy that's just trying to yank their chain. It's fantastic. Keep sending them emails. No, I don't want to do that, okay?
No. Look, I talked it over with Bud. We want you to do the Frodo the Puppet segment. And
what do you mean you talked it over with Bud? Since when is this guy calling the shots?
Look, don't worry about it. Bring on Frodo again, and you can talk about the book you're reading.
Look, you're going to give me crap.
No, but we got to do equal time. Just do it, and we'll do some equal time.
What do you mean equal time?
Look, you're going to talk about your Alexander Hamilton book. Nobody cares. Do you understand, Phil?
Well, then I don't want to do it, man, if nobody cares. I don't want
to... Yes, I want you to do it so you don't pout. Okay?
I'm not going to pout.
Oh, what are you doing right now? But we need to do equal time for people that think it's boring. So just
I'm not going to talk about reading any book about Alexander Hamilton if people think it's boring.
Of course they're going to think it's boring. Good God Almighty, Henry. You're going to come on a radio show in the middle of the 21st century? Well, the beginning of it. Where we got all kinds of guys talking about Nikki and Paris Hilton and their mom, Kathy, and having them doing a three-way in a hot tub, and you want to talk about Alexander Ding-Dang Hamilton? Oh! You got to allow equal time.
Okay, fine.
All right, let's cue the music, bud, and let's bring on the puppet.
All right, here we go. You see...
What are you stopping for?
Is this the equal time you're talking about?
Oh, God. Kill the crickets.
Look, it, I got another gig to go to.
Sorry, Frodo. We'll get this other way.
Well, why don't you just send him back to his trailer?
Sorry, Mr. Puppet.
You know, I've got other things I got to do.
I understand. Look, Phil, let's do it. Will you come on?
He was a great visionary.
He's going to cry.
What a baby.